Hello and welcome to Discover Energy Work again. And I'm with Yadi this morning. Now, Alamin, did I?
Alamin.
Yeah, Alamin. Yeah. So Yadi has fascinated me. So I've followed him for some time. He's developed a needleless acupuncture. And when I follow him, I hear there's a story behind this. And of course, he's just released this book called Needleless Acupuncture. Do you want to hold up the book, Yadi? Hacking Acupuncture. Yeah. It's wonderful. It's sort of it's got a little bit of the vibe. Is it fair to say like Idiot's Guide or Complete Idiot's Guide? Is that fair to say?
Yeah, it's a lay person's book, you know.
I mean, I think those guides are brilliant, by the way, because they kind of like say, you don't know anything, I'm going to explain everything. So, and I read your book, by the way. I thought it was a very, very good book for a lay person and for somebody who knows about energy. So welcome to Discover Energy Work. How are you doing today?
Oh, I'm doing pretty well. I just finished teaching Qigong. Thanks for having me. So I'm cheat up. My energy is good.
Right. And you look quite young. So when did you get into all this? How did this happen? What, you look young, you look fit, you look
Thank
happy.
you. Thank you. And all of those things are new additions. I'm 48 years old. So I started half my life ago when I was 24 years old. If you see pictures of me at 24, I actually look older then than now. So yeah, this is something that it's a long story and it's a short story. Like, but by you asking to do this interview, now you're part of my story. Like this is what happens. You've invited
Right.
me in, and I'm inviting you into my story. I always look at myself as an average guy. Right. I don't see myself as a master or a Qigong or whatever you want to label yourself as. And the things that you just mentioned, those are the tangible outcomes that people look at when they're not, initiated in these arts. And yeah. How long have you been doing these arts? I don't know your story either, so.
You see, I started when I was like 18, but I met the guy that got me into energy when I was 24 as well. Yeah, so literally 20, just turned 25.
Were you looking for it? Was it
Yeah,
on your
kind of.
horizon or?
Yeah, kind of. You see, I was I'd been practicing Kung Fu, for in England at that time, which is the 80s. Yeah, so the early 80s. And they were talking about qi and qigong, and it was all very mysterious. And I said, well, I want to go to China and meet a master. And I kind of like forgot about it as I went to China. And then when I met this guy, he was practicing Tai Chi, but it wasn't Tai Chi China, it was the original Tai Chi. So, like, there is no form, just Wu Wei. So, just you could say, just do nothing. And he was doing acupuncture without needles and acupuncture. So I was like, whoa. And he was doing acupuncture where he just hold up his hand, feel the point, and then just put the needle straight into the point through the clothes of the person. Yeah.
That through the clothes thing I've seen.
Deep inside the body. So like sometimes long needles. So that was, and he said, oh, I'll teach you. And I'll teach you the practice, the Tai Chi practice. And then 3 days later, I'm feeling energy and doing the remote diagnosis with it's called more qi. So I feel all the qi. So that was like blew my mind. And then that kind of started me to question everything. So was it similar for you? What happened to you?
I was sick. I never had any interest in Asian arts. I'll be honest with you because I hope that when people see my face and hear my voice on the internet, that they get this message that if I'm doing something, they can do it. I never had any interest in Asian arts.
Yeah.
I'm from Chicago area, and I was into music real heavy, and a bunch of the guys that I hung around were kind of dangerous.
Okay.
So
Big gangster.
I was there. I was there though, right?
Right, you're so, right. I understand. No, when I say gangster, the people were gangster sort of thing.
They're a little dangerous. Some of them have moved on. Some of them died. Some of them went to prison. Life is real. You know what I mean? I got sick, and I was a phlebotomist. That was my day job. I drew blood. I had sold medicine for pharmacies, mail order pharmacies, drugs for RSV, growth hormone for people with MS. And I worked for the system, basically. When I got sick, I did, ER. I mean, I was in the ER 10 out of 14 days. The first 2 weeks of this illness, my heart would beat too fast. I couldn't breathe. All the muscles in my body would tense up. And they had no diagnosis for me except anxiety. And I didn't get anxious until I could breathe.
Yeah, yeah.
So about it, maybe 8-9 months of failure. This, this physician gave me a bad diagnosis, this GI specialist. Failures, cardiologists, hepatologists, all these different people failed. And I gave up. And when I gave up, I called my mother. I had already lost like 50 pounds. There's a picture of me on the internet when I weighed 117 pounds. I'm still skinny, but like imagine 50 pounds less. So I just called my mother and said, Mom, this is, me talking like a young man. I said, Mom, I want to die. I just want to die. I had never been weak in my life. And if you're weak if you're on the wrong side of town and you're weak, you're dead. I could barely function. I couldn't eat. I couldn't sleep. Mm-hmm. And all of my revolutionary friends, my anti-government friends, my controversial, like the people that talk now about TikTok, like, you know what they're doing? All of those people couldn't help me either. So all of my dangerous friends and my woke friends, basically nobody had anything for me. I told my mother, Mom, I want to die. And my mother said, go to the acupuncturist. And she doesn't do acupuncture. My mother has rheumatoid arthritis, Sjogren's, diabetes, asthma, and her hands are gnarled like this. I don't even know how to describe. My mother's not healthy. She just didn't want me to die. I found a guy in a book called The Monthly Aspectarian, which is kind of like a handout at the health food store. And it was this Chinese guy wearing, I know it as Tangzhuang now, like the Tang Dynasty costume. I just thought I'll go.
Well, he looked like something out of a kung fu movie, really.
Exactly. And I said, he's gonna chop me in the neck. I'll die. It's like, I'll go out like a soldier, and I went there. He had two places. He had one in Chinatown. He had one way out in Westmont, Illinois. It doesn't matter. But I went there. I tried to describe my problem. He said, your liver, spleen, kidney, your liver, spleen, kidney. I don't know what he was talking about. He put me on the table. He did some weird kind of body work. It's Chicago. So it's like 10 degrees. He's putting his hands on a radiator. He's touching my body. He's all of this weird stuff. And I didn't care.
He's making a noise. He's going, ooh.
He's something, low guttural grunts. And I don't know why any of this is happening, but I get up after the session and I could breathe. My vision was clear. My heart was relaxed. I could feel okay. I felt okay in my body for the first time in like a year.
Well, which is like from being up there when in like a state of like emergency to even moving down like 30%, you're going to go, what has happened? You're going to be amazed.
Yes, sir. Wow. Yeah, absolutely. And
when it changes your world, doesn't it? It's like that sort of thing changes your world.
It does. Like, because we just take it for granted when you feel good.
Yeah.
But if you've suffered, or anyone that is suffering, if somebody takes you out of that and you don't know how they did it, doesn't matter, because you've experienced it.
Yeah.
So, I mean, whereas you were curious from doing Kung Fu, from having, I would say, more of a, you were probably on like a Shen type mission, like a soul, like a Blues Brothers mission from God thing. Like, this is what I feel I need to do next. I think that Ming or destiny just guided me into this guy's place. And I went there for about maybe 7 or 8 months. I was borrowing money and my mom just basically said, look, I'm not doing it anymore. And I had to just hustle. It was $125. This is 24 years ago. So it was $125 a session, three times a week. I just started hustling. Like I did a
Wow, that's
bunch of.
expensive. 24 years, that's expensive.
The guy was, he already had like 30 something years in the business. He was well known in the Asian community, Asian neighborhood in Chicago. And he didn't need me as a client, so he didn't. I think he made a deal where he only charged me 300 a week.
Wow,
But
300 a week. Oh.
yeah. Anyway, so after running out of money and burning, and mind you, I'm still healing. 8, 9 months in, I'm not better. It turns out my apartment was black mold infested, and the guy two doors down died. From black mold toxicity. I didn't even know what it was. Like, you pour water out of the sink and have mold in it. Like, it was that
Oh.
bad.
Oh.
So all of the diagnoses were wrong. I had black mold toxicity. It nearly killed me. It took me like the first 8 months to run out of money. I just begged to be a student because I didn't want to be sick anymore and I didn't have any money. And that was it. Like, this is, please help me. And he did. He took me on as a student.
Well,
The
you know what
first.
I love about the story? I mean, just for my I mean, I'm making a comment. You can, slap me down, that's fine. But it's like there's these two moments of like giving up, and those are the moments where things open for us. And it's funny, because it feels like it's the worst thing to do, but it's kind of like does open us to possibilities we maybe didn't think of before,
Absolutely.
It's quite
Absolutely. Like
beautiful. And he took me on.
when you don't have the answer, you can ask somebody higher than yourself. And when you give up, there's a certain humility in not knowing. There's that, moment of humility, of truth, where maybe I don't know what I need to know. So maybe I don't know anything. If you learn, and I'm sure you have, if you trained in China, traditional training is not for everybody. You're a lot of times it's not in Asian arts or in Asia, period, there's no lateral conversation. You either talk down to somebody or talk up to somebody. Like, nobody is at an even place with you. So a lot of times it was do exactly what I tell you to do. You would be insulted if you did something wrong. You'd be like, there are times when there's some mental hazing. There's like pushing you, oh, get out of the way, call you a name in front of people. But the thing is, that's not my culture. And that's, I didn't take it as being insulted. I just thought of it as, okay, what do I need to fix? I spent 2 years just learning Jam Jong. Just standing meditation was 2 years.
Right. So people that don't know, like Jam Jong is like this extremely powerful Qigong, which people learn from books nowadays, but like you learn it for 2 years, which says something.
In order to be taught the first lesson, I had to stand in Jam Jong for 45 minutes. And this is hazing. Like, if you don't get past, like, I couldn't stand in that position for 1 minute. The holding the ball posture, the embrace posture, I couldn't stand in it. I was weak and it hurt. And doing that posture, there were times that I'd scream from the pain. I had deteriorated so quickly. After 4 months, I could stand that long. In fact, the longest I've ever stood in Jam Jong is 2 hours and 45 minutes straight. And I know that because I had a timer on my PC. I was watching the time. But yeah, so anyways, I spent about 7 years with my first teacher. After that, the period of time that it took me to recover is like 2 years. After that, I became a clinician. I was a shadow. I watched and I learned monkey see, monkey do. I did needle acupuncture, did gua sha, scraping, cupping, you know, moxibustion, herbs, everything that is traditional Asian medicine.
So he kind of taught you the basics of, and then he taught you like acupuncture and gua sha and all of these things.
And you made his money back. No, he made his money back from me though. there was a point when the patients would come in and I would say, you know, Sifu, what do I do? And he would say, you know, check the pulses, put the needles in, wake me up in 20 minutes.
Okay.
I come back 20 minutes later. I say, Sifu, I put the needles in. Now what? He would say, take the needles out, reschedule. And this was, you know, this was my job now.
Well, were you being paid or, I mean, is that?
Yes. I mean, well, yeah, it's probably $10 an hour.
Okay. Okay. So you're like, you're being paid. So you got a job and he was teaching you. So like, if we think about student loans, it's kind of like not too bad, really.
If you saved my life, right?
Yeah, right. And
I would follow you to the end of the earth because you've done something that no one has. It was kind of that. I had a job, another job that paid probably double what he was paying me, but there's a catharsis in healing. You know this better than anybody else. There's something valuable about helping other people when you've been helped.
Yes.
You know, that's the whole purpose of everything you see behind me. It's like the whole reason that I do this work is because when I was looking for it, it really wasn't there. It wasn't that obvious. Right. And most people won't do acupuncture. Most common people don't. They don't want to get needled. They don't care about any of the things that we talk about. We talk about the 8 rubrics. We talk about patterns in TCM. They don't believe in the terminology. They don't know what we're saying. They don't care. They just want to feel better. And the whole reason to do something like this is because there's a value in helping other people.
Right.
You know?
After your 7 years, you then, I mean, actually, it's interesting because you speak Chinese. I can hear you. At least you pronounce things correctly. So
that's it. Yeah, I don't really speak the language.
So I'm like, oh, that's really interesting because you're saying these words correctly. I'm like, it's not from a book. He knows how to say these. So
the terminology, yes.
Right. So after 7 years, did you go out on your own? Is that your first time opening a clinic?
Yes, I took about 6 months. I went and got some general certificates in medicine because I didn't know what I was going to do, but I wanted to be an acupuncturist. But it turns out that's another 4 years here in the States. It's a postgraduate program. It's going to cost me $80,000. And I didn't have the money. Here's what happened. This may be crazier than the beginning. So I'm at home. I had this nut job. I won't say his name, but this guy said he can cure any disease using the four glands in your head, like the thalamus, the hypothalamus, the pineal, the pituitary gland, and just sending signals to your glands. Something. It was nonsense, but he came in from Idaho, right? Idaho is where chiropractic came from, right? It's where naturopathy came from, right? What's his name? Oakley Smith, D.D. Palmer. They created their osteopathic medicine. What's it called? So this nut job comes in and he's completely ridiculous. I get a knock on my door. I'm hosting this guy for a weekend. And it's Frank Jurasek. It's Dr. Frank Jurasek. I don't know who this man is, but he was the dean of students at Pacific College of Oriental Medicine. He was probably one of the coolest people I've ever met. He's still alive, by the way. Both my teachers are in their 80s. This guy comes in. I have a library, Richard, on my wall, right? I've got like all of the Michael Sasso books. I've got Thomas Cleary books. I've got, you know, Asian medicine books everywhere. And he just looks around because he's here to see this nut job. He doesn't know who I am, right? And he's like, so who does acupuncture? And I'm like, quiet. I'm cowering in the corner because I'm embarrassed of the whole situation. We end up hitting it off. I had to do an externship for my medical assisting program. And I said, hey, can I just work at your clinic? And he was like, he was cool. He was like, yeah, 72-year-old guy. He was like, cool. Yeah, come on. Right. So I'm at this clinic called One Village on the west side near Oak Park. And now I'm learning about Korean hand therapy, you know, Zhu scalp acupuncture, what's it called? Sujok hand foot system, auricular therapy, ear acupuncture, microsystem acupuncture. This guy was trained in Japan. In fact, he was here in the States when the lobby went through Congress that made acupuncture legal in this country. And he just happened to walk into my house one time, and I had no idea who he was. He took me on. We still talk to this day. In fact, he's the inspiration behind this, you know, taking what I do now and kind of making it mainstream. Because he was doing no needle acupuncture back then, Richard. He was piezo stem, ion pumping cords, Manaka pumping cords, electrostatic absorbers. You know, seeding the ears, using lasers, TENS units, everything that's out there, right?
Yeah.
But yeah, this guy literally just walked into my house and I become his right hand. Like I end up in a college environment. I'm teaching classes with no experience in academia. Somebody asked me to teach them Qigong, somebody out of the blue, I become a teacher by default. Like I'm telling you that this was just, I this is why I say it's Ming, it's destiny. I never applied for the job. I didn't go to anybody. It just walked right into my house.
Yeah. And Dr. Well, Frank it's also, you know, like I have to say, there's a wonderful doctor I go to in Hong Kong, Dr. Choi. And, in Hong Kong, traditional Chinese medicine is normally taught in the university, but Dr. Choi he's an old man. He's one of the people that he went to this famous guy and sort of through a connection, got an interview. The guy was going to pass on his knowledge to his two children and one other person, and that's it. And he became the other person. Mm. And that was knowledge of herbs, which they don't use in the normal university TCM. And it included his own like take on all kinds of things. And the guy does miracles. He does miracles with herbs and he doesn't use acupuncture. He'll hit you. And bring the blood to the surface. So he does this thing, which is awfully painful. He first gives you medicine, which is going to facilitate that. And I suppose my story is kind of going, well, traditional Chinese medicine, traditional means it's passed from one generation to another. So that's really traditional. You've gone to a teacher and he's passed you the knowledge. That's traditional Chinese medicine. And of course, the others is I'm not trying to score a point from anybody, but there is something wonderful in the university education, you know, definitely. But if we're talking traditional, and that's what you've gone through, and that's really special.
Well, that's, and also, Richard, that's the problem. When you talk about formal education in traditional Chinese medicine, TCM, as we know it, is a brand. It's a brand.
Sure.
You know, it's post-communist leftovers. It's a mishmash of things. It, you know, for example, when you learn pulses, like I think you can't see in great detail, but I have the pulse poster on my wall with the 28 pulses. Some people teach 26, whatever. Those are herbal pulses.
Right.
Like the acupuncture pulse is for strength and width. And it's a comparative pulse. right? You might go from one arm to the other. You might go from one position to another and compare. You might go from, you know, stomach nine to lung nine, depending on how you do your pulse. But an acupuncture pulse is way simpler than an herbal pulse. But example, when you learn pulses in academic TCM, you're learning herbal pulses, but you're learning them so you can do acupuncture.
Right.
There are things that don't. And the other thing is, you learn from an academic, you learn things like points. What do they call these points? The name doesn't. There's a name for a point that takes care of all things from this area. I can't think of the name right now, but it's kind of like this. If you have a headache, use this point. A headache is a Western diagnosis, like, because it doesn't describe anything. Is it a wind headache? Is it a cold headache? Is it a, you know, is it a cold wind headache? So you have these points that are supposedly for Western conditions. And there are great authors, David Hartman, is that his name? I think writes these point prescriptions. He's got a great, you know, collection of books. And if you look up acupressure, if you're learning no needle, for example, you're a lay person and you just want to learn how to use the meridians or you learn how to use the points, you learn Western conditions and points, right?
Yeah.
And that doesn't make any sense because the heart of the medicine is treating you as the individual.
Yeah.
Right. So in trying to recreate or in trying to simulate acupuncture without needles, it had to do three things. One, it had to be individualized, meaning you come in, you have a condition. I assess your condition. I look in your eyes. I look at your face. I look at your tongue. I might feel a pulse if I can. If not else, I'll palpate points or something. And I'm doing a comparison. And I have some personal information. And as I start my work on you, your reaction becomes the next thing I do.
Yeah.
Right? There's not a point to treat you until your body shows me what it is.
Mm.
So the first piece has to be individualization.
Mm.
Then the second piece has to be that whatever I use to stimulate these points. If I do acupressure, for example, what's the longest I can press a point until I'm cutting the blood supply off and, you know, you're starting to go into, you know, hypoemia and you're starting to suffer from not having enough blood at the site. It had to be sustained, right? So I couldn't just press points. That's not like acupuncture. That's a completely different kind of thing. Using cups, again, you're messing with humors. You're messing with fluids. Doing guasa again, like if the person has really dry skin, the person has some kind of dermatitis, you can't do that. Or, you know, it's too cold outside and, you know, your tool is too cold. Or if you're using moxa and on the other end of it, the person has a heat condition. To simulate acupuncture, it had to be sustained as if you put a needle in and it stayed there and it had to be accurate as a small needle would be, like the small needle insertion is, right? The third thing is it had to work. it had to work. So it was individual, it had to be sustained, and it had to be functional. So for the next, I'd say 12 or 13 years after leaving Dr. Frank, Dr. Jurasek, I was no needle. The last person I needled was me when I had a lady from the Bronx, New York here, and she never stopped talking. So I just needled myself to calm down because I was losing it. I was trying to put myself back in my body.
Yeah.
That was the last needle I used. And I think it was Zhu San Li, right? I think that was it. My system now, like the system I wrote this book about, is based on technology from Nikola Tesla. It's based on oscillating energy. Nikola Tesla's device that he put out in the 1800s at a world fair, I think, it was the violet ray. If you've never heard of the violet ray, they call it a quack device now, I have a whole chapter on that, by the way, hacking and quacking. But it was basically a device that used high voltage, low amp electricity, and it shocked you. It was like lightning, you know? Yeah. The shock was enough. A shock is a lot like a needle insertion, you know, like a piezo pen. Like if you use a piezo stem, it's a lot like a needle insertion, but that isn't the device I use. That's just the coil in the device I use. The device we use is an update from the original Violet Ray, which I can grab one.
Why not?
All right. So this is it.
Right.
Now, the difference is the coil is here in this body, in this 3D print body. And when you turn it on, it's going to make tones. At the tip of it, I don't know how much you pick up on this audio, but so this is about 20,000 volts.
Right.
But it's sub-motor. It doesn't make the muscles fire, but it does put an oscillating electromagnetic field into my body.
Yeah.
Like if I hook somebody up, if I put this on any part of the body, you'll hear the tone in your ear.
Yeah.
So that means the electricity is going through the whole body. So anyway, there's a story behind how that came to be. But after using lasers, after using MOX, after using Guasai, after using cupping, after using TENS units, even pulsed magnetic fields, all of those things, this guy during COVID says, "I think I have the cure for COVID." From California, this guy, he calls me up in the morning. He says, "I think I have the cure for COVID." He's buying hydrogen machines. This thing back here, R2-D2, this machine, that's a hydrogen machine. So I'm selling hydrogen during the shutdown because hydrogen attenuates inflammation. And if you're worried about dying of an upper respiratory infection, you inhale hydrogen, it brings the inflammation down. You're less likely to die. There's research on that. I'm not going to say it cures anything. I live in the U.S. You don't say anything like that out here. Right. But anyways, this guy was buying something.
It treats something.
Yeah, it might help.
You can treat a post. You can treat a fence. You can treat,
So this guy says, "I have the cure for COVID. I'm on my way to Mexico. I need two machines." I didn't believe anything he was saying. It didn't make any sense because he said, "I use this device. It's a lot like the Tesla coil, but it puts oxygen in the body because that's what high voltage does. Like after a lightning storm, you smell oxygen in the air. You smell ozone in the air."
Yeah.
And he said that was his theory, is that if you hook this up to the body, the oxygen will kill the virus, which, again, I don't believe it. My dad's a chemist. I have no interest in what he's saying. I'm just trying to help him because I feel bad that it's COVID. So I sold him two hydrogen machines. I took whatever money I would have made and spent that money on express shipping. He went to Mexico. He comes back 2 weeks later with documents with the Minister of Health's seal, the government seal. He's treating people 70 years old, diabetic, overweight, with acute COVID, and their viral load is disappearing in 2 hours.
Right.
He asked me, did I want the device? And it was $3,000 at the time. I said, yeah. And he sent this. This looks like an anteater's penis.
Well, checked out the anteater's penis recently, but I think it looks like a Star Wars lightsaber, actually.
Way better than the anteater. Wait, that's a step up. What's funny is they actually, that's in my book too. I talk about all this in the book, but I got the device and I was mad as hell. Like, I'm like, what is this thing? I said, how do you even use this? He said, push the button. There's only one button. That's all you could do. Put it on your palm and in 30 seconds, smell your hand. After 30 seconds, it smelled like ozone. But the crazy thing, Richard, is my back pain was gone. So if you know anything about acupuncture, I was kind of close to small intestine 3. Kind of close, which is a good shoestring point, which helps your back because it's Taiyang vessel. Taiyang is small intestine and bladder. And the bladder goes up and down the back twice. My back pain was gone in 30 seconds.
Wow. You must have been like, whoa.
I spent the next 6 hours nerding out with this thing. I went home. I called my parents. I said, I really think that you can do acupuncture with this device. I used it on my hand and the impulses stopped my back pain. Everyone thinks I'm crazy anyway. But I was like, yeah, I know this worked. I went back in clinic and I started using the device. I would just hook it up to a leg and do gua sha down the channel using it like, some kind of channel stimulator, right? I hook it up to a spleen channel, follow the path of the channel or something. Eventually, I learned that you could put metal diodes on the skin and conduct the electricity across, the skin and put the diodes in acupuncture points. So then I started creating micro protocols using, TCM acupuncture, but using micro system, hand acupuncture, face. The only system that was hard was scalp because people have hair, but I figured a way around that too. So what we have now is virtual acupuncture using Tesla's oscillating coil and high voltage current.
We have to get We have to get Elon down on this. Tell him about this. This is something that Tesla, it's kind of sad because people know Tesla because of a car and they don't realize they had this guy that invented Bluetooth and all kind of alternating current and all kinds of things. Was this genius from Czech, I think. Like amazing.
He worked for Westinghouse and he was ripped off a lot of times.
Yeah.
And I think he died poor. Like, I think Tesla died with nothing.
I think he was probably the syndrome where you're kind of like shut in, the word escapes me. Autistic. I think he's probably a bit autistic because he was like, he was in his own world. And then it's a difficult, the world is difficult when you're in your own world and you go to the outside world, you kind of like ignore stuff that everyone thinks is so obvious. I don't think necessarily he was a hustler.
Yeah.
Who knows?
When this discovery came to us, to Joy, my partner Joy, and myself here, I knew this was the thing. This was what I was looking for. And like I said, the common thread throughout my life is that I was ready for it when it came. I didn't know I was looking for it.
Right. Right. But, and isn't there's an expression that says like when the student is ready, the master will appear. Yeah.
Yeah. That's a common aphorism. None of this, of what we're talking about, has to do necessarily with the energy that you usually talk about on your program. I got to watch a few of your programs. There is that. So in terms of our body, our physical nature, we have mechanics, we have chemistry, and we have electromagnetism. Those are physical things. Like you have electromagnetic impulses, your brain, your nerves, you have mechanics, things move, and you have chemicals in the body. What I did try to do in the book was talk about the five spirits, talk about alchemy a little bit, talk about the eight extraordinary vessels. And I think it's necessary because we're having a very matter-of-fact discussion to realize that both human disease and human health are mysterious. And it's not because, I haven't invented a way that cheats the system. In fact, a lot of what we do is very traditional in that, yeah, we use a mechanism that's mm-hmm. different from a needle. But what makes you good at this is being able to listen.
Yes.
And to understand who you're working on. You know?
I mean, it's, you know what I love about you, Yadi? I mean, if I'm allowed to say that. I mean, I absolutely love about you. I've got to say it now. You have, seems like no, I want to say the words, but it's like you have no ego. It's just so direct and simple when you say it. It's refreshing because you haven't drunk your own Kool-Aid on it. You go, okay, there's which people do. And your students encourage you to, yeah. They want you to be, you know, floating into the room when you're teaching Qigong and giving deep philosophical expressions. But it feels, you know, I feel like you've got this earthiness and this groundedness. And in the final analysis, when you experience it, it is mechanical, like acupuncture. It, for other people, it's like, oh, this mysterious thing. But when you understand it, it's mechanical. Yeah, do this and it does this. Same with these Tai Chi people that are pushing people in an amazing way. Actually, once they understand it, it is mechanical. They are no more spiritual than anybody else because spiritual is kind of something else. You know what I mean?
Right. Yes. Yes, absolutely. The quote that I liked, and my teacher used to say this in Chinese, I forget how to say it, but the Tao is supreme simplicity, right? The Tao is supreme simplicity. So as we're learning all these things, right, we're only learning how to use natural phenomena.
Mm-hmm.
And nature has its own intelligence without language. So our linguistics and our ability to say something doesn't actually make us more intelligent. I think the what you said means a lot to me, to have less ego every day. I guess that's something. But the to be able to care about something, doing something for somebody, to be good at it is what makes you good. Not necessarily that you've had 50 years experience. And we lose a little bit of that because we have to turn around and sell our services. And in selling, there's a hyperbole like, oh, this is the greatest thing. I feel like what I found here is the greatest thing I've found in 24 years. But this is the internet. And you get out here and you say that and everyone else is saying the same thing.
Right.
For
yeah. And they've done 6 months. They've got an MLM Healy. And I don't mean anything about Healy, but I don't know about it, but I'm like, oh, I've got the vibration of abundance and look how spiritual I am. And I'm like, actually, you're just wearing a device and you're not any more spiritual than you were yesterday. Spirituality takes work, man. And you won't be able to talk about it.
And I openly will tell you that the Healy is nothing. Like, I don't mind telling you that's absolutely nothing. Like, it does, it's a TENS unit with dreams. There were people, now don't get me wrong, there are people who did electromedicine that were amazing, like John Crane, Hulda Clark, Bob Beck, Lakovsky, Georges Lakovsky, Nikola Tesla. Don't get me wrong now. Like, there's some value. I use technology. I'm not throwing tech out the window. I am throwing Healy out the window, though. Like, anytime there's no face, like you use, it's almost like we just believe this is good because of the collective understanding. Our collective mind says, yeah, this is good. How many times have along the years have you been told that somebody's drinking alkaline water and alkaline water is good, or that you can eat an alkaline diet and there's no validity to any of it? Like, you have stomach acid that's like a 1-3 pH, and anything you put in your body becomes acidic. So it doesn't matter if it was alkaline at first, it's going to become acid at some point. It doesn't make any difference unless you're talking about saliva or urine. And at the end of the day, how many years have people been saying alkalize or drink alkaline water? And you tell people, like, look, it's no, it's more rudimentary and basic than that. Eat things that make you feel energetic that don't make you crash. What's the it was the sutras of Pantanjali. The he said, eat things that spoil quickly before they spoil. Like, it, get something when it's ripe and eat it. Those are the things that have the energy. One of the greatest secrets, I think, of having great energy is just be honest. You know, if you're up here and I'm down here, then there's no honesty, because you have to maintain this position at all costs, and you might compromise it by revealing something about yourself. If you're worried about that, you can't be honest.
Isn't it like, I mean, I when you're saying that, it just comes to me like, isn't that the heart of art? And I think of healing art as well. Like, you see something and you represent as best you can exactly that. You know what I mean? Like if I'm drawing something, I'm not trying to make a symbol of the apple that I'm drawing. I'm trying to put that apple exactly energetically, the feeling of it. I'm trying to put it, I mean, everything, and exactly that apple. I could draw, there'd be five apples, but I'm just drawing this one. And that's what I'm, and that's this honesty. And I think it, I think in a way, sure, I think Qigong in a way is, and meditation is in a way is exactly that. And of course, yeah, I think it's full of a lot of people's imaginations, and, you know, but that's also part of life, you know.
There's self-honesty in Qigong. Qigong is just a label, like Daoyin, Qigong, Yangsheng, Neigong, all of these labels that we give different things. It's a moment when you don't have, you have no mechanism other than your own senses. Like, and you can lie to yourself, but not sensorially. Like, you can't make yourself feel something. You can try to, when you describe drawing an apple, you're drawing something that was in, and no one else saw the way you saw it. No one else had your experience. And you're trying to recreate this experience by drawing it, or by singing about it, or, you know, by sculpting it, or whatever it is. In Qigong, you're not trying to recreate anything. You're trying to observe an experience. You're trying to be part of an experience. And I deal with a lot of lay people. People just come in for a shoulder problem. If you're in Charlotte, North Carolina, you see where we are. There's a bunch of restaurants out here. There are tattoo places out here. There's an iglesia, a Spanish church across the street. Like, this is real life. And I get people that pop in here and say, can you fix PCOS? Can you fix chronic migraines? They don't want me to talk about, you know, the value of meditation. But if you understand it, just your presence and your simple attempt to turn them on to it is all you needed to do. You've helped this person by not pushing them too far in your direction, or trying to convince them of anything. You're offering them an invitation to something that may be good for them.
Yeah.
You know, at no point did my original teacher say, you're going to be an acupuncturist, or you're going to do Qigong. I kept going back because I trusted him. And more important, when you're honest with people, I believe they trust you. You know, and if in the world of mega teachers, in the world of masters, and all the things that people use to attract people, an honest, trustworthy person that shows you their work and teaches you how to do what they do, it, that to me has a much greater value than, you know, any of the hype and marketing or whatever it is that people are using to attract people in. I trust my teachers. I know what my teachers do. I know their families. People know my family. They know my life. I curse during my sessions. I play reggae music. Like, I don't do what you would expect. This is just another projection of my own self that I enjoy sharing with people. Right. You know?
Right. We have to be genuine. I wanted to ask you, actually, before, because we're running a bit low on time, I wanted to ask you some healing stories, just kind of let people know that people do come in with like these ailments, which they, you know, kind of reflecting your original situation where they think, I can't get any help. And now you're in the situation of passing it forward, as it were.
I've got a bunch of crazy stories. Like, I'm an underreactor, so I usually don't build them up to be what they are. This is a crazy story. So this lady had fibromyalgia. I was in Florida, and she was about the same age as me. And she would wake up at 8 o'clock in the morning and couldn't get out of the house until noon. I went to a weekend seminar.
Because of pain.
Yeah. Just hurts so bad. Fibromyalgia is like systemic cold. It's like wind cold, but internal, the deep internal wind cold, and it's everywhere. So everything hurts. The skin hurts. The bones hurt. The joints, the muscles hurt. So it took her 4 hours to get out of the house. And every second she would inhale lavender because she would panic. So we went to this weekend seminar together, and finally on that Sunday, I got to work on her, and I did a lot of central vessel work. I did a lot of, you know, run my work. And I'm in South Florida, which is a different place than where I'm at now. We asked her, we said, what do you want? And she, there's a room full of people from the seminar. I said, what do you want? She said, I just want to feel loved. The whole room, you are loved. You are loved. What else do you want? I just want to feel good. And everybody in the room, you are good. That's it. One time, she never had pain again. Never had another symptom after that day.
Wow. So it's a combination of your work on her energy and the vibe.
Room. Like, I'll tell you this, she doesn't like me, but she'll still verify that story.
Right.
That's a crazy story. I'll tell you an even crazier story. I didn't even touch it. Okay. So I used to do music. I was heavy into music. I made my last ditch attempt in 2010 when my son was born. And if you do music, it's very expensive. I did 7 or 8 songs. The engineer was holding on to my mixes. I wanted to get them. I called him. I said, hey, can you please give me the mixes? And he gave me some BS like, oh, it's on a different hard drive, which means I don't have it. You're never getting your music. But he knows I'm a clinician. So he said, will you talk to my uncle? He's got lung cancer. Gives him the phone. The guy's, he's like, I'm dying, but I know they have a cure. This whole conversation is, he's talking about the government. He's talking about how they don't want you to heal, this whole thing. I didn't even do anything, to my knowledge. I just said, look, I'm not in Chicago, but if I'm there, you're welcome to visit the clinic. I know your cousin or your nephew, and I'll be glad to help you if you have any trouble with payment, blah, blah, blah. Do you know? I called him back 4 months later because I didn't get my music. He was lying to me. He was like, yeah, no, it's on a different hard drive. I called him back 4 months later, and I said, well, okay, you don't have my music. How's your uncle? His uncle is in the room, complete remission. Never touched him.
Yeah.
Now, these are stories. These are kind of my high-end crazy stories.
Yeah.
Every day when I go to work, I do not touch the site of pain. If you have an eye problem, never go near your eyes.
Yeah. 100%.
Whatever it is.
100%. I'm with you.
These are the kind of things I want to show people, but every day is amazing. Those are my high-end stories of healing. Like, I did nothing to my knowledge, and the guy just reversed.
I've got one of those three, really funny, because it's sort of like an anticlimax story. Mine, I'm going to rent a motorcycle in Chiang Mai, where I live, and I walk into the room, and the woman is lying on the floor, and she's just sick, and she stands up and she says, "I'm better now." I'm like, I was just like going in there, apparently, like just the shift of me going in there, and I'd just been practicing and doing my stuff, but there was no interaction. It was just like, boom, okay, I'm better now.
So sometimes that's it.
It's bizarre, isn't it?
Well, and the number one thing that keeps me doing this job is never knowing what might happen.
Right. Well, I've got to say, I could see, because of your genuineness and lack of ego, people will look, there'll be people who love you and people who just, you know, can't smell you. Yeah. I think that's kind of like, I think that's kind of a good thing. So anyway, it's been fantastic talking to you. Can we give a plug for, like, I'll put website information and Amazon information and so on. Just a plug for the book.
Hacking Acupuncture Without Needles, How I Did It and How to Do It. My website is Charlotte Acu Bodywork. You'll see it on my chest, charlotteacubodywork.com. You can pretty much Google Yadi Alamine and find all the love and hate you just mentioned. But yeah, thank you so much for doing this.